Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, I got Kyle, and we have another special guest. Welcome back to the show, Mimo. Welcome back, Mimo.
Thank you.
It's been a while, huh? Has it been? I would say it's almost been a
year.
Why are
you laughing, Damon? Because the way I said thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything clever to say, so I paused and I said, oh,
I'm waiting for him to hit the restart button. Can't do it. Let's go, Damon. Come on, pull it together. Let's go.
Okay, I won't look at you.
All right, so this past week was Good Friday and Easter, our very first of each at our brand new facility. We're still unsure if we have had a Good Friday service as a church before.
Yeah, we had a debate at our staff meeting this week. There was a handful of people, it wasn't a majority, said that we had had one before, maybe a couple.
Where did we have it?
The rumor was at Stanford that we rented it on a Friday one time. Huh. I don't know. It kind of rings a bell, but nothing where I actually remember it. So
that's what I thought, but
you thought we had had one?
Yeah. And well, I also know, and this is separate, we had one when I was leading SIA. We had one for the youth and young adults here at the Freedom Center.
Okay.
But that was separate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you are listening to this podcast and you have pictures or some type of memory from our other Good Friday service,
physical evidence.
Let us know, because even at the staff level, we have no idea if we've had one or not. So this could be our first, or it could have been our second.
Yeah,
but definitely our first in a new facility for sure. So do you guys have any takeaways or anything memorable about our first of either? Well, I guess we should start with Good Friday. How was Good Friday for you, Mimo?
Good. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm having a hard time with
you're
words.
You're so profound today.
Oh, my gosh. Garrett did a really good job with his message. I know as a mom, if my son did that, I'm sure Rosie was so proud, and Eric too. But just the he didn't seem nervous, and the content, he kept saying, this is nothing new, and I'm just telling you what it is. But just the way he was able to communicate what Jesus did to carry our sins and to die for us. He did a really good job just explaining the profound way that he carried that for us. So I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, it was a sermon kind of version of the Passion of the Christ movie. Mm-hmm. Like he was trying to bring the weight of the intensity and the suffering. And I thought it was good because it's not an easy thing to like sit in that space to sit in that and think of it. But like he kind of went over it and kind of trying to describe it. And I thought he did a good job and left us in that space long enough to be like, oh, man, this we call it Good Friday. I mean, it's good because we know what's coming. But that day was rough. And just the intensity of what Jesus was facing like the night before and then going all the way through to the cross. I thought he did a good job with it.
I know my kids definitely felt the weight. When we were talking about it later, they said that the message was a little bit graphic for them. So it was a little intense. But, you know, in the midst of that, I do feel like there were a lot of families that came and brought kids, right? And I think generally that could really disrupt the feel of a service like that. And they did actually a really good job of sitting and paying attention, or even if they weren't paying attention, being quiet to allow the space for people to feel the weight and not being distracting. So shout out to the kids. You guys did a good job.
And the parents were bringing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not staying away from being at church when they knew that there was no childcare provided. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, yeah. There were quite a few kids, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, the feeling I got was, I guess a way to describe it overall was like a fullness. Mm. I think from the worship team and just the music and the singing felt full. Like there was just a different, maybe number of people, but also just it felt full. And then to see how many people came, it was cool to have that corporate time. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think Garrett did a good job with his message and, yeah, bringing a difficult thing to talk about. And I think he handled it well. And the response by everybody, it just felt full and complete. And I think I had a greater sense of that even just looking to Easter and then Pastor Barry's message and what all the kids did. So I think looking back, a Good Friday was the start of feeling that fullness.
Yeah, and our youth, young adults were the ones driving that service on Good Friday. So that was really good to see them engaged, leading in different positions, to some of the elements, like the way they did communion. We did the corporate style, which we don't often do. And, you know, things weren't perfectly smooth, but I thought the way they did it was well thought out. And some of the elements, even coming in and having the cross there and having that exercise to like write down a sin that Jesus paid for you and put it on the cross, and just to get people in that place of remembering what that day was all about. I thought it was well done.
I have a side tangent question.
Ooh.
And it's not a serious one. Ooh. Well, it's serious, but it's not serious. Okay, so I I'm thankful I did not have to help with that service.
Yes.
I was not asked to do anything or whatever. So does that mean I'm not a young adult? Or when we talk about the young adults helping, is it the younger adults?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, you're not that young anymore.
I've graduated.
I was waiting for it, but Mimo said it.
Hey, they asked me to help out, so what does that say?
Yeah, that's because you look young.
Yeah, you're moving out of that stage, Brett, so you can be young at heart, but time doesn't stop. So I think part of it too is just there's elements where even your age group could have helped there, but then it actually then diminishes some of the things that the weight that they need to bear in that and the way they can grow. So
no, I'm just joking. I think they did a fantastic job, and I'm glad that there's younger adults that are stepping up and want to serve in that capacity. So I think it's really cool.
But I can tell you are slightly offended. It's okay.
No, I was glad to be able to sit in the service and nice. And feel like, I don't have to do anything.
Well, Brittany got to do worship, so that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I might look young, but I am getting old. So if anybody wants to step up and do visual and help out with the visual, you can always come talk to me or come talk to Kristen, and she would love to have more volunteers for visual ministry, especially in light of the goof up that I had on Easter. So I do want to apologize to all of the parents of the Hive and all the kids that are in the Hive, because yes, I did accidentally stop the song too early, and that was my bad. And yeah, I just want to throw it out there. I am deeply sorry for the mess up and technical difficulties with the Hive.
It was one of those Southwest want to get away type of moments.
Definitely.
They did a good job and they were cute, so you know, I think it was okay. Okay.
I'm leaving the awkward science for Damon to sit in there for a second.
Well, I was thinking that would be our transition to talking about Easter.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, so this was our first Easter service in our new facility as well, and I thought it went really well. I heard a comment that someone said that there was something for everyone with the kids, the pride doing the apologetics with Pastor Barry's sermon. There was something for everyone in that service, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because I think they were describing for everyone, like every age group, but also like thinker-feeler, just different. Like a lot of different aspects that there was a good balance, right?
Yeah, I would say that's the... Well, I had to listen to the service afterwards because I had my own class to go to. But I think in general, there was a lot of... The way that it was described to me gave me a picture of... I think that's that whole weekend, and then Sunday it wrapping up kind of the Easter weekend was a picture of, I think, what makes Catalyst. you know, we had the youth and younger people involved. And then there was a mix and a freedom of what the kids did. Not all the kids, right, sang a song or did a play or whatever. There was a cute video with the youngest ones that, yeah, it was just cute to get them on screen and have them answer questions. And then there was a song where the kids were very into singing and doing the hand motions. And then the little bit older ones, right, we've been hearing that they have been liking participating in that, asking for more lines and getting invested in it. And so to see that, I think has been impressive. And then I think just Pastor Barry's message and where he took it, there were some things that I think in the past he normally doesn't like to talk about or be so direct about, but I think it was a well-rounded view of where God wants us to be and the seasons that he's taking us through. And so I thought it was a good picture of kind of where we're headed and kind of what God wants for us as a whole.
So, side note on Pastor Barry's sermon, the illustration that he gave with the ladder, that's a recycled message. But it's that impactful, it's that relevant. I remember it. So I was at Mount Hermon when I was in high school, and Pastor Barry was one of the speakers, and he gave that same illustration with the same exact characters, with, you know, Hitler being the closest to Satan, and then Mother Teresa as well. And I mean, I still remember him giving that illustration 25 years later. So just for him to be able to have an illustration that's so impactful that you can remember it that far removed from it, I think it just shows the impact of some of the things that, you know, he's able to pull out and that story in particular, and just the weight of, you know, really what Jesus did for us in the Easter story.
Did his hand turn black then from the magic marker too?
No.
I thought that. Oh, you guys probably listened to it, right?
Yeah.
So the marker started leaking, and so his
the pen.
Is that why he said, "Can somebody give me a napkin?"
So his left hand, he's holding it, and then he looks down. And it's like, black, and he's trying to wipe it, and he's like, "Oh, can somebody?" And it's just it's like pretty messy. So I thought that was kind of funny.
That was like the Mount Hermon of Shout to the Lord. So that's when that song was super popular. And so it's like
you're showing your age, Damon. 25 years ago, and then Shout to the Lord was the poppin' song.
Messing up on my duties with the slides and everything. So yeah, just need someone to come replace me or something. But yeah, I mean, hearing Pastor Barry give that illustration again just brought to memory the Shout to the Lord. And you know, I remember at that Mount Hermon too, he had a cross, and then he gave us all like little chains, and we were supposed to come up to the cross and throw our chains on the cross and stuff. And so, I mean, yeah, just the impact of Pastor Barry 25 years later is still there.
There you go.
Cool. For me, I thought it was neat to have the Easter message after our small group still going through it, but the Awe of God and most of like the Awe of God series that the church went through, just because it talks, we think a lot of like, what happens, like, if we're not we have not accepted Jesus into our lives and we're not following Jesus, like, what happens, you know? So, like, the Easter message and, like, the altar call that Pastor Barry did, and thinking of the implications of living in Christ versus choosing not to, you know, and then going through all of God beforehand was, like, bringing even more depth to that. So.
Does Mimo saying neat count towards my neat counter?
Did I say neat?
Yeah, you did.
Shoot. Brandon, you can count my neat.
Well, if you say it once, it's okay. It's just more than once. Then so now you're going to be in trouble if you keep saying it. So, Brett, I think in your guys' class, you guys talked about the significance of the resurrection and stuff too, with the youth, to even show them, really, that's the linchpin of our faith. Mm-hmm. And so even... you guys have been going over that series of like trying to show how the Bible is reliable, true, accurate, historical, and all that kind of stuff. And are there any things that Henry was able to point out about the resurrection? Because I'm pretty sure Pastor Barry's coming in a couple of weeks, and he's going to go a little deeper in it. but were there things that he was able to point out that kind of tie in with the Easter message?
Our time together was a little shorter, mm-hmm. and he wanted to give time for discussion because of last week. Mm. So it wasn't, I wouldn't say only focused on that. I think the coolest thing was, I think class was good, and we did talk about certain things. Just in like eyewitness accounts, things of that nature. I think they had some things they wanted to debrief from last week. Mm-hmm. But I think one thing that Henry and I both talked about afterwards was just God's timing in all of it. You know, from asking Cameron what he was working on and how he was going to do kind of like apologetics about Jesus dying on the cross and the resurrection. And then us starting this series, we didn't know what week we would be on when we're on Easter, and it happened to be on the resurrection. Mm. And then Easter Sunday, obviously. And so just even feeling the affirmation from God of doing this, stepping into it, the engagement that the kids have been in has been awesome. Mm. And so, yeah, I'm really thankful, and shout out to Henry and the elders and the people who have come in, like you, Kyle, and people that are going to come in, because this series, basically on apologetics and understanding, do you believe in God and why? Do you believe in God's word? Is it true? And leaving it open, I think that's huge, where Henry wants the kids to be able to wrestle through those things and disagree with certain things. But all that to say, I think I'm very thankful for the way that God has orchestrated it, and I'm excited for it moving forward.
I heard you gave some of the high schoolers like book reports and stuff. How was that?
Yeah, so Henry has tried to engage or have it more engaging, because a lot of times in class, there's some weeks where it's a lot more discussion-based, and then there's others that there's a lot more just information, and a lot of it is going through facts. Like, okay, we can say we read the Bible or we experienced this, but what are some of the facts even outside of God's word that help prove that it's real? And so he gave a couple topics for people to look up and report on. And so one of them was like Caiaphas. Mm-hmm.
His
the high priest?
Yeah.
His tomb, like whatever they call it, his bones were.
Yeah. Then Josephus. And I think this week there's another three that he assigned that I totally just give him free reign. I say, you know, however you want to, this is your first time teaching it, but however you want to run it, mm-hmm. if you want to assign stuff, if you want to just do it in class, however. And so I think, you know, he's been really good at sensing from the Lord and just from the class, okay, do I need to involve more engagement things? Is it okay if we just kind of do less discussion this time and do discussion next time? And so this next week, I actually think Eli is one of the ones that he picked to research something.
That's
so
what I heard, but I don't know if he started on it yet. So
that's okay. And he's not asking for a lot, just a couple points. Like, yeah. Why is this important, or what does this have to do with what we're learning? Right. But each kid has presented really well. They even printed out pictures to show us. They talked about it. I think they've gone beyond what Henry has asked for. And so giving context. Oh, one of them was just Nazareth, the city of Nazareth. Yeah. And so looking up, okay, why is this relevant? Why is this important that they excavated and found things in Nazareth? Like, why is that important? What does that do? And so things of that nature to help understand or allow them to see how God's word is true, or historical facts that point to, okay, these things are things we could put our belief in.
Yeah, when I was, the week I was prepping with Henry, we thought, you know what, let's get the kids to be like owners of this as well. Give them the homework. And I think you shared before too how they were excited to kind of do that mm-hmm. in class setting, where they had, hey, why don't you guys get together as a group, look at this passage, and then report to the rest of the group what you guys learned. Mm-hmm. So we thought, oh, let's do something like that, where they have to go bring stuff back to the group and they get to be the ones to like kind of teach and share. And so, yeah, it's cool, because really that's kind of the journey when you're, that apologetics kind of leads towards is owning your own faith. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to step in and you have to do the stuff. You can't just have people feeding it to you and just be like, oh, I'm going to open my mouth, I want you to feed me. It's like, well, you got to go take the steps, grab the fork, cut the meat and put it in your mouth. And yeah. So I think it's really cool.
I like it. that Henry also emailed all the parents what they went through too, because like the Nazareth thing, I was like, oh, I didn't know that they had to excavate. I didn't even know that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I learned something new, and then I can ask my kids what they talked about, what they learned. And then a few weeks ago, I asked one of my kids, I was like, so how do you like Uncle Henry teaching it? And what do you think? Like asking for feedback. And then he said, oh, yeah, like I like it because it's interactive. It's not just lecture and just getting information fed, but it's a back and forth communication with him and then also like researching. So I think they really like that. Well, one of my kids said he really liked that part. So thank you, Henry.
I think it's really good too how this series that you guys are going through is really bringing to light that the Bible is real. Because I think, you know, talking to some of my kids when they're younger, they talk about it in a similar, you know, vein as a fairy tale or, you know, these, you know, imaginative stories, because all these different things that are supernatural are happening in the Bible. So it's kind of equated to other, you know, fairy tales that aren't true. So I think it's really good that you guys are incorporating, no, these are the facts and this is, you know, based in truth. I mean, it is truth, but we can actually see, touch, feel some of the things that are being talked about in the Bible based on this evidence that we have. So I really think that grounding it in that place is really good for our kids to be able to take it and say, oh, these stories that I've been learning since I've grown up is, they're not just fairy tales like these things that I'm learning in other places or I'm reading in other places, but you know, it's not just Harry Potter to me, but it's really, this is true. This is real. And I think that, you guys diving into that at this age level is really good to help them, you know, when they become adults and they're fed with all these other ideas that, you know, they're grounded in like truth and reality.
You know, it's interesting because it's partly trying to develop their critical thinking and their foundation because, yeah, there's things in the world that say, oh, no, that didn't happen or that's not true or that's just, or how do you know that's true? And it's giving them some of the tools to do that. And so it's interesting because I listened to a podcast this morning. I think you had started it already, Mimo, the Think Biblically. And there was something that came out in Christianity Today where a guy, he's a writer. He's a professor, I think. He posed the question like, well, did Jesus actually get crucified with nails or could it have just been ropes? And so he went on this, wrote this long article and they actually published it on the Christianity Today. And then it's like, I'm listening to it and I'm like, no, there's references to it because they say, oh, it never said that he, they never talk about nails. But then it's interesting is that in John 20:25, it's like, Thomas is the one that talks about it. So they don't talk about it when they're describing the actual crucifixion and all, when all that happens. But then Thomas says, unless I see the marks in his hands where the nails were, and, you know, then that's when I'll believe. Mm. So it doesn't describe it in the setting of the crucifixion, but it has later. It's like, well, then they wouldn't have said that if there was no nails, right? Like, duh. But then the guy, so there was pushback against the guy, the author, and then he actually had to put a retraction out like, oh, I was wrong. I totally missed the John 20:25 and why didn't I not? But he was just trying to get some different angle, like could it have been this and that? Mm. But I think that's what's cool about us having our kids go through this type of series where they're getting some of these foundations. Hopefully they'll be able to spot some of that and be like, wait, just because this is a well-known publication or even it's a professor, like, wait, is that right? Does that line up with what the Bible says? And hopefully we're giving them the tools to be able to dig in and say like, that doesn't seem like that's accurate. So I thought that was interesting this morning, hearing about that right after Easter and like, wow, like some of that stuff can just slip through the cracks too. Like there's editors and there's different people that could have pushed back along the way, yet they didn't. And yeah, I don't know if you guys have thoughts on that.
I have I don't want to keep derailing the conversations, but I have another tangent and plug.
It's okay. We don't really have anything specifically planned for today, so go for it.
Just sitting here and hearing your guys' feedback from Kyle helping in the class, from Emo from being a parent and getting the email and being able to share what's going on. I think for me as one of their leaders, there's a lot of stuff that gets presented that I know they're not gonna remember. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that I didn't know that I'm not going to remember. And then there's stuff that's like, oh wow, that was really insightful, and I learned something, or that was really cool. God highlighted something. And I don't know if any youth listen to the podcast. I hope there's some that do, but I think one of the coolest things is, and I know I keep saying it, but just how engaged they are. Mm. Because as a leader, as a teacher, you can give the best lesson ever, present whatever, but unless they like take it and I'm not saying they have to know everything after the class is done, but unless they take it and at least wrestle with it or ask questions or engage with it, like I trust that in time, whoever comes in or myself, we're planting seeds, but then to see them actually do something with it, to me, it's like, okay, whatever God does with it or wherever he takes it, like I'm at peace with. And so, you know, you could set the ball up on the tee, but unless they want to swing and try to take a hit, like you can't do anything outside of that. And so for me to see them and just how much they are listening and even trying to think through hard things, or if there are some people are like, I don't get it, but they're still there. It's very encouraging to me, and just to see God's hand work in that way where, yeah, it continues to encourage me in just wanting to lead them and continue to seek God in the ways that, okay, God, like, what do you want for them? Because they're at this place where they're really invested together individually and diving into it. And so, yeah, I'm not that I had an expectation of like, oh, they're not gonna, like, I don't think I set a low expectation for them, but you just never know. And so to see that, I'm encouraged. And so with that, I feel like you adults that listen, don't turn it off right now because I called you guys out, but it's not too late to sign up for classes. Mm. I think in that same way, yeah, we hope we get that from our Sunday sermons, but Damon's teaching a class, Mimo's teaching a class, like your teachers are preparing to try to set you up for success in that way too. And so if our youth can dive into some of these things and you can see even some of the fruit start now or the ways that they're able to engage with it, I want to encourage you guys, if you feel it's a slight interest, to join a class, I would say do it. I've taken a class and yeah, it's a little bit of a long day, but if 6 to 8 weeks helps you for the rest of your life, I think that's worth it. And so,
amen.
So don't drag somebody else to take the class with you. Like do it together. Don't be alone in it. I'm proud of my small group. Some people were on the fence and somebody said, hey, I'll do it if you do it. And then now there's like three people. So just,
I know they're doing good.
Yeah. I encourage you to do it. And, I've already heard reports from people taking Mimo's class this round. It's been good. It's been hard, but it's good for them because it's an area of challenge for them. So it's to help. It's for our own good. And so I just encourage everybody that where God has us and what he's doing at Catalyst, like, I don't want to say take advantage of it as if it's just an opportunity to capitalize on, but also there's only so much that we as leaders, as staff, that we can do. It's going to take everybody to buy in and step into it too, where we can be all that God has created and called us to be. So
yeah, be about it, right?
Yeah. Just, I mean, that's why Nike has their saying, just do it. Like just do it. Like I encourage you and yeah, just, I'm excited for through all of this where God's going to take it.
Thanks for the plug, Brett. I have an extra plug for my class. So I've been preparing for this class for a while. I've been trying to work through things with Pastor Barry. And
he's been preparing for 25 years, guys. Since Mount Hermon.
In leading up to this, God has really, he's been preparing me too and had some real life application. So if you want to know what that is, you'll have to come to my class on Sunday and
ultra
find out.
Teaser. Whoa.
Yeah. So you know, the past week has been a definite, I wouldn't say trial, but just it's a real life application mm-hmm. of what is going on or what I'm going to be talking about in my class. So
true.
Personally having to apply the things that I'm going to be talking about. Yeah, so
about your identity.
And yeah. That,
yeah.
And so if you want to know, you'll have to come and find out.
Love it. Okay. So I had one thought this morning too about thinking about recording today and about Easter. So Pastor Barry was kind of talking about, yeah, like you want to make that decision knowing like, oh, this there's eternal impact on if I'm going to follow Christ or not. But then I think we've talked about it. I don't know if on air, but I know off air, all of us have mentioned it's, you get people with the concept of, well, it's kind of like fire insurance, right? Like, well, I need to just believe in God and believe in Jesus just so I don't go to hell. But kind of like what you were talking about, Brett, it's about you got to do it. You got to like take the steps to actually transform your life. You got to put the effort in to actually become more like Jesus and to have your life like reflect that. And so I was just wondering too, like even reflecting on this Easter season and the things we're challenging people with, like you guys have thoughts on even how to get that point across to people and how you've seen people maybe even wrestle with that or teeter on that, like, life's good enough and things aren't that bad, so I'm good. I don't need to go and push in that area. Because I think Easter's kind of like that moment of like, oh, yeah, it's about God. It's about him, about his salvation. But then after you kind of get away from that season, it seems like it kind of just gets lost again.
Mm. That's a good question.
How about you go first so you can give us some time to... Normally, that's what you do when you ask a hard question.
Well, normally, but it's a different day today.
So it's funny because, last night at our small group, so and it came up in the past as well about, I'm going to call the men out. How to get the men more involved and, like, step up, right? So I was sharing with some of the girls. I was like, well, Kyle had the intentional dads group, and it kind of started out okay, but kind of petered out. And so, like, it kind of... it kind of closed down. And I feel like some people are, and it's not bad, but you're like, they're comfortable. And I'm speaking myself too. So I'll say it for myself. When I'm comfortable and I don't have any challenges in my life and life is just normal, nothing bad, nothing like just, and so I don't have like a need for something greater than me. So then I'm not motivated per se to pursue God because there's no urgency in my life or like something happening where I'm like, God, help me. God, I need this. Like I'm not in need of something. Mm. So then I'm okay like with just going to Sunday church. Most Sundays, maybe 3 times out of the 4 weeks or maybe every other week. Sure, like, yeah, I listen to message and I take my family to church and I'm being honest. Like, is that what God calls us? Is that why Jesus died for me? So I can just go to church twice a month and half listen to the message and not really do anything the rest of the week? I don't know. Like, I feel like it's hard because I can do so much to encourage other people to encourage them to take Pastor Barry's class, take Damon's class, take other classes that are offered. But if there's not something that's in them or that circumstances that are making them want to lean on God, I don't know. Like, I don't know how else to motivate people. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're describing the wrestling with complacency, right? It's like it's easy to become complacent when there's no need, there's no pushing like on a wound or a fear or something like that. But then I think the other challenge is when is it knowledge and when is it application? Because you can get people, take a class and they take a class, but really they're just getting some knowledge about it, which is good. It's important. You need that. But then if you don't actually take it, wrestle with it, try to apply it, work on things, then, I mean, it gives you knowledge, but really it doesn't turn into wisdom.
So then that always makes me go back to how too busy yeah, we are, right. And we're not prioritizing, like, I've shared this many times, so sorry. I know you've heard me talk about this before.
Preach it, Nemo. Bring it back. You haven't been on for a while.
You're only allowed to say that if you come on every single week. Yes, but if you come on twice a year, that's not too much.
Well, some people have heard it more than twice.
Well, we're talking on air here. Okay. So off air, that's a different story. Yeah.
So, you know, like, I'm just going to say, like, Instagram. I used to waste hours on it, and I'm embarrassed to say, like, how, okay, I might spend 5-10 minutes in the morning with God, but then, like, at night, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, crap, I just spent, like, half an hour.
Like,
okay, 2 hours.
I don't know.
I should be going to bed. Like, what are my priorities? Like, so, yeah, I know that, like, yes, we can take classes, we can read the Bible, but, like, if I'm not investing my time in those things, they're just tasks to be done and not something to form me or to change me or to love God even more, because I loved scrolling through Instagram more than spending time with God. And I know, like, it sounds kind of funny, and then, like, people might hear it and like, oh, that sucks. But it's true. Like, where are your priorities? Where was my priority? So then when I started, like, you know, five years ago, I started this journey. I'm like, okay, like, I need to go to bed earlier because I need to wake up earlier so I have more time in the morning to spend time with God. So then, yeah. So, like, it's just looking at your whole life. I don't know. I think digital detox is coming up sometime in the future for our church.
It probably will. I just don't know when, but yeah, it's very needed for all of us.
We'll definitely have Mimo come back on when we talk about that too. I do feel, well, I mean, specifically since you're calling out the men, you know, I do feel like there is a role that we need to step into as men, right? And that God does have roles for us, and especially in terms of spiritually covering our church and our families. And if we're not stepping into that role, then we're just leaving our people unprotected, right? And so for me, I think that's something that I feel like the Lord has really been trying to get me to take seriously, is the covering that I have over my family, and then also the covering that I provide as being on leadership at our church. And so I feel like if I'm not growing, if I'm not spending time with Him, if I'm not hearing from Him, then I'm not providing that for our people or for my family. And so that's really something that I want to continue to do, so that my family is, especially my family, but then my spiritual family, our church, is covered, you know, and is covered, whether it's covered in prayer or covered just in the spirit, because, you know, there's things that we can't even see that are going on. And so for me, in my role, that something that I feel like the Lord has been growing me in and showing me is that I need to continue to grow so that I can continue to provide that and provide even more, because I do feel like, especially with our journey as a church going towards becoming City on a Hill and doing that for our community, you know, the enemy doesn't want to see that. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be more spiritual attack. So if there is going to be more spiritual attack, more spiritual oppression, then I need to level up so that I can help, you know, keep us moving towards this vision that the Lord has for us too.
I think that's where part of the importance of us going through the awe of God was. And when I say to do stuff, it's not to do stuff just to do it, because I think there's also that's wrong as well. Mm-hmm. But it's that connection with the Lord and growing in who He's calling you to be. And I don't know if I've talked to either of you about it recently. Things are all mixed up, or just I read it in the book, but reading Matthew 7, there's a part of it that's like this idea of stepping up, or the Easter season and kind of
getting
complacent.
For our listeners, can you tell us about what particular in Matthew 7 you're talking about?
Well, they talk about true and false disciples, and, you know, there's some other parables or different things that illustrate it, you know, a tree that produces fruit and a bad tree will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You'll recognize it by their fruit. But one of the parts about true and false disciples is in Matthew 7:21-23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And so it's like this idea that these people thought they were doing things in God's name, or like, if you're driving out demons, that you would probably say like, "Oh, dang, that guy must really love Jesus and really follow Jesus." But in that way, he tells them, "I didn't know you, get away from me," and he even calls him an evildoer. And so if we are not connecting with the Lord, if we are not doing the things that he is calling us to with him, I don't want to be that person that when I see Jesus, he says, "I didn't know you, get away from me, you evildoer." Like, maybe in my limited capacity on earth right now, I might think, I don't want to think about that, or I don't have to deal with that right now. But the weight of the awe of God and Easter season, and to see what Jesus did on the cross for us, I don't want to hear that response. And so, not just out of my own will and strength, am I going to do anything I can to make sure I'm not in that way, because it's not about controlling that. But there is a part of me that's like, okay, what are the things that I do need to do? What are some disciplines I need to step into? What are ways that I can grow in more likeness with Jesus? What are sins that I need to ask for help and repent from? What are things that I can do to know that I know Jesus and that he knows me, and that I can walk more freely and firmly in that, rather than it being a kind of like delayed hope, or like the fire insurance type of mindset. And I think reading that and going over that too in the awe of God put some serious, like, no, there's going to be people that he says, like, "I didn't know you." And it could be people where you're like, "I never would have thought they fell under that category." And so I know it's not supposed to create an unhealthy fear, but there's a part of me that feels like a little bit of unhealthy fear helps a little bit in certain ways.
Yeah. Well, there's an aspect, I think, that it still is healthy, but we usually take that part in an unhealthy way. But I think it's supposed to be there for that reason. And I was just thinking of Psalm 139, 23-24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I think, you know, like, I'm assuming that's David's psalm. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. But, you know, he's kind of having that gut check, the look inside, like, okay, I need to go. We all need to do that, to go to the Lord and say, okay, am I getting prideful? Am I getting arrogant? Have I drifted? Am I just being complacent, you know, like, but we all need to do that in health-wise on a regular, our spiritual health on a regular basis. Just like we need to go to the doctor and get checked up, we need to not assume like, oh yeah, I'm good, and no, you've been eating like crap lately, so you're not good. And so you need to have that time with the Lord just to be honest and say, hey, have I drifted? Have I fallen away? Instead of being arrogant in a sense like, oh, I know I'm good, and then you get to that place, oh shoot, I thought all this time I was good, but now it's too late.
So I think, yeah, that's really good, right? Like, self-awareness is key to like looking deep within and like evaluating with God, where am I, my shortcomings, and what are my opportunities for growth? And then also, so that's like doing that with God. And at the same time, in addition to that, with community is important.
For sure.
Because you know, like, I might be talking with God and then I think, oh yeah, I'm good. I'm good, God. I think I'm good. But then if somebody comes in and tells me, which I really appreciate when people give me feedback, even if it's difficult for me to hear, I appreciate, like, there was a few months ago, somebody said something to me, and I think she was nervous telling me about it, but I really appreciated her feedback for me, because when I said something in my, like, little twinge, like, I was like, oh, I don't know if I should have said that out loud, but I wasn't sure, and then she came back and told me what I said actually was not, it was difficult, something that I shouldn't have said probably the way I did it. So anyway, so, like, for me, like, it's really important for me to know that, because you know, I'm kind of an external processor, and sometimes I say things without my...
Kind of?
My mouth is sometimes faster than my brain. So I think I've gotten better at it as, you know, I'm getting older, but I still... there are shortcomings I have, and I really appreciate it when people can tell me things that I've done or that I do that hurt them, or that they can check in with me and say, hey, I heard you say this, but is this what you meant? Because that's how I heard it. And I can either kind of think like, oh my gosh, yeah, I said it the wrong way. That's not what I meant. Or if I did say it the way that was hurtful, I need to know that. So I need somebody to come and tell me, but I also need to have a soft heart in receiving the criticism or feedback so that I can learn from it and grow from it too. So that's why, like, community is important. And I think for us women, it's usually a little bit more easier for us to get to the personal level, whereas, and I'm not a guy, so I don't know, but I think guys, they might talk about sports, they might talk about food, but maybe not get into, like, what God's doing in your life, unless you are at this setting where it's meant to do that. So anyway.
Okay, so I just thought, oh, shoot. If we have new listeners, that might have sounded really rude. Okay, so Mimo is my wife, so that's why I was joking with her a little bit. I'm like, oh man, they might think that's mean. You're treating her.
He is so mean.
I am kind of mean, but it was.
I was gonna be like, Kyle's gonna get in trouble tonight.
I like to make jokes and make people laugh. Sometimes they don't come across the right way. But no, when you were even saying that, the community part too, it's actually really good for discernment. Because sometimes we can be like, oh, yeah, no, God said he's good with me. And because you can kind of hear a word from him and deflect it and twist it and be to make yourself feel okay, right? Where he's actually trying to correct you. But then when you share that with somebody else and they're like, oh, yeah, God told me, oh, really? That, hey, why don't you share a little bit more? That I'm not sure if that sounds like that's from the Lord or that's really, or how did he actually say it to you? And then, oh, but then you said that he said this and... it might be steps in between where you interpreted it and twisted it. So community is really valuable in that light too.
Yeah, Brett, those verses that you brought up, they've been really highlighted to me recently, just in terms of the relationship aspect of it. Because, right, I think a lot of times, like, oh, if you believe the right things or if you know the right things, you're okay. But then it's like, it's not just a head thing. It's a relationship, because really it's about knowing Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know someone? I mean.
And being known too by him.
And I mean, in the Bible, you know, all the way back from the beginning, that's what they said the relationship between Adam and Eve was. Mm-hmm. It was a knowing, right? It's so the intimacy that's involved, right? And so, I feel like that's been something that's really been highlighted to me, is just the intimacy that the Lord wants to have with us. And so in some ways it's like, it's an honor, but then in other ways it's like, oh, am I living that out, or am I pursuing other things? Am I pursuing intimacy with something else or with someone else, or with, you know, trying to be fulfilled by whether it's social media, TV, sports, anything. I mean, it's the middle of the playoffs right now.
Busyness.
And someone's team is doing pretty good today or last night.
Aren't you going to fast? Are you fasting basketball right now?
No, that's Pastor Barry.
Oh, yeah.
And it's past Easter, yeah. So he's allowed to watch Lakers. But, you know, the Clippers killed them yesterday. But anyway, you know, it can be really easy to be distracted or to feel the draw to be to those other things. And I think that's been something that the Lord in the midst of this has been trying to highlight to me as well. Is like, okay, there's certain things to find enjoyment in, but not to find your value in, or not to be fulfilled by, but they're still there to be able to be enjoyed. So just trying to find, what does that actually look like in the midst of the, yeah, it's just, it's an interesting journey.
And all the junk I said, I did not. Okay. I am calling people out, but I'm not sitting here just pointing the finger.
Sure.
God has already called me out on his own. And so there's things I'm currently wrestling with. I'm currently, in lack of a better term, struggling with, trying to figure out what does this actually mean and look like in my life. And so I push and want to challenge people, or to not call out people, but call people up, because when you experience God and the more that he has for you, or what he is calling you to do, it's worth it. And so at times, even myself, I'm in a current season where I question if the things that I'm working through and going through, am I going to be okay? Is it worth it in the end? Am I going to be upset? Am I not going to be happy? It's a realistic, and I feel like it's a valid way to feel. But you know, this season of our church going through wholehearted surrender, going through the awe of God, it's like these are all things that I'm having to continue to go back to and reevaluate where I am, my attitude, my posture, all of those things. And it's not fun, and I'm not doing it perfectly, but I just encourage others to step into those things as well. And so as much as I'm calling out and pointing out the finger, it's being pointed right back at me and calling me out as well. And so, you know, I'm someone who, if you want to talk about certain things, I'm more than willing to talk through certain things to help figure out whatever it is, to give insight, give encouragement, whatever it is. And so it comes from a place of care. I care for our church, the people of our church, our family. And so I want to see them, I want to see everyone experience victory and experience what God has for them. And so that's why I talk the junk that I do.
And one day he doesn't want this experience of Jesus telling someone in our church,
yeah,
I never knew you.
Yeah.
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 And I say the same with you too, Brett. I, like when I was in front of the class one time and I shared my experience with emotionally healthy relationships, I'm really not good at confrontation or anything uncomfortable. So it's the class is offered for everybody, but I need it as much as anybody else. And I, every time, and like I've watched the videos, I don't know how many times I've watched it. The class has been only done in a bigger group setting twice, and then one time other with a couple other girls. But I've watched the video so many times, I've gone through the, like it's, yeah.
I can't believe some of those videos you've sat through multiple times. Some of them are so cringy.
I know, they are cringy. They are cringy, but I just listen to it and I'm like, yes, Jesus, I know. God, I know. Like it's so for me. And yeah, so yep, it's the finger is pointing right at myself.
So you're saying that even though you're teaching the class, you're learning a lot in the class too.
I am learning it every time. Yep.
I agree. I think it's funny while you were sharing, Brett, it's like, okay, to be real, you're in your 30s, Damon early 40s, I'm 50 this year, so it's like we're basically three different decades, we're almost 10 years apart, right? And
I was going to say, you're not 50 yet, Kyle.
I know, I'm just, you might as well round up by now. I think I'm more than halfway.
Only a few more months.
I'm more than halfway to my birthday, shoot. I'm like, yeah, might as well round up now. But just hearing you talk, it's like, oh, I remember seasons like that at that age. Mm. But then like even hearing Mimo just talk about the class, it's like, yeah, I've grown, I'm wiser, I've matured in certain ways. But then it's like, but it's still some of the same things. It's just, oh, I'm in a different level, but I'm still doing some of the same wrestling and same struggles. But it's interesting to think back and like, well, the longer you take to get on that journey and the less you push yourself, the longer the process is, and the less distance you actually gain, right? So it's like, yeah, some of this stuff, it stinks, it's not fun, and it's not like when you accept Jesus your life is, you know, rainbows. What do you say, rainbows and butterflies? Is that what, isn't that you're saying? Or that's somebody else's.
Whatever. I might have said that.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not like it's all good, but it is good in a sense. Like, but it comes with hard work. It comes with sacrifice. But then once you get in that place and further along in the maturing process, it's like, oh man, I have more peace. I have more contentment. I have all these things that, but my circumstances are very similar to what the way they were, or maybe sometimes they're even worse, but I'm so much happier, or I'm so much, more content. And it's hard to describe it until you actually go through it. But that's the hard part too. It's like, well, I can only tell you that it's going to be a worthwhile journey, but you have to go through it. And we all have our different struggles. And the sucky part is, like we talk about in our class, we all have our own family histories and our own woundings, our own things that were done to us that make it even harder for some people than others. But it doesn't mean that the same destination isn't available.
Yeah, I think in light of Easter being this past week, Jesus came so that we might have life and life to the full, right? And so really that's what this podcast is about. That's what having these classes is about, is so that, each time you listen, each time you go to class, each experience that you have, you are able to step into that transformed life that the Lord has for you so that you can experience more life and life to the full. Okay, Mimo, do you have any closing thoughts?
That was a good closing wrap up to bring it back to Easter. Good job, Damon.
Yeah. I'm like, you want me to close up something? I don't know.
Do you have any last thoughts?
Sure.
We love having you on. You only come on every once in a while. So if there's any closing thoughts that you have, we want you to share.
Why don't you externally process with us right now?
We're just running out of time. So I just want to give you one last shot since,
No, I think. Yeah, so like what Brett said, we have new classes starting this Sunday. Pastor Barry's teaching two classes. Damon has a class. And then shout out to the two people that are taking the emotionally healthy class already, and they've signed up for the morning class too.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, that's like a work day, right?
From
Brett's small group.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
And I told one of them that we were going to have a decent amount of homework, and the response was, well, if I'm going to wake up that early, then I'm going to do the homework.
Yeah. So, it's like, it is what you put, you get out what you put into it, just like anything else. So I don't work out as much as I used to, but when you work out, right? Like you get the results you get are what you put into it. So it's your physical muscles, but your spiritual muscles. Like if I don't put in what I want to get out and I am expected somebody else to do the work for me, it's not going to happen.
And you have something traumatic happen in your life and you don't know why you didn't react that way. Yeah. Or it's like, well, you didn't put the work in before.
So there's still opportunities for you to sign up last minute for those classes. Is that good, Damon?
Thanks for the plug again. So hopefully really it's my hope that, for all the people that sign up for my class, just are able to experience more of what the normal Christian life is supposed to be and not just what the average Christian life is. So,
amen. Right.
Well, thanks for listening again. And thanks to Mimo for coming back on. We'd love to have you on again sooner than later. Thanks for coming on. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.